This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first-round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on the Sports Objective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
Welcome into the Pirate Basketball Overtime right here on the Sports Objective. Pirates get a big win, 63-62 over ODU. And the Pirates now have beaten twice the Monarchs in 11 days. With me, my good friend, Bubba Rosenbaum. How are you, man?
Doing well, Dave. Hope you are. And, yeah, just absolutely fired up over what was a thrilling win. You heard the heartbeat there in the open tire show. I wish I could say my heart was beating that slowly there at the end of the ball game tonight, as well as Saturday afternoon when we won the thriller on Tristan Newton's buzzer beater against Coppin State. But the main thing is we found a way to get it done in each of those instances. And, hey, we're 6-2. Gardner Webb coming in on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, you know, that buzzer beater on Saturday reminded me of that one game I was with the kids against SMU. I remember that game very well. He shot that three in the corner. That was such a great game his freshman year. And then Saturday with a repeat, another buzzer beater. In fact, he said, Bubba, you remember that? We'll get to the ODU game, obviously, what everybody wants to talk about tonight. But Saturday's game, man, he said that he didn't know how much time was left, so he just put up a shot, and it went in. And, you know, that's what's great is this team is finding a way to win close games. Obviously, we would like for them to keep their leads, and they won by 13 in Myrtle Beach 11 days ago. But, hey, 1 point. We always talk about that, Bubba, you know, in football. If our team can just Mike Houston and company can win by 1 point, we'll be fine. Well, we've done 2 points on Saturday and winning by 1 point tonight. So, critical stretch right now for Bubba for the Pirates. I know we'll talk about the stats here for this game, but there's a four-game home stretch. Pirates are 2-0 now as they beat Coppin State. And then now with ODU tonight, of course, we have Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. We'll be hosting Gardner Webb. And then next Tuesday night, we have A&T. Those four games are critical when it comes to our season. Don't you think, Bubba?
Yeah, you mentioned Coach Houston. You heard what Coach Houston said way back, I guess, late September, when the Pirates, you know, were able to hold on against Charleston Southern in a game that was kind of, or the basketball equivalent of that would have been Saturday against Coppin State. Obviously, Coppin State's in the same division, whereas Charleston Southern's a division below us in the FCS ranks. But just from the standpoint, it's a game we were expected to win. I would not have taken the Pirates and the points in that one. 16-point favorite. Coppin State had been playing better basketball. We were coming off a 6-day layoff following the Myrtle Beach Invitational. So the last game we had played was on Sunday prior to the Coppin State game on Saturday afternoon. So for those factors alone, I would have taken Coppin State and the 16 points. But the biggest thing is, like Coach Houston mentioned after that Charleston Southern win, it's great to be able to learn lessons in a victory, and that's what's happened the last two games. And Coach Dooley talked about after the Coppin State game, the biggest thing, or one of the biggest things, is just the lack of consistent play. Even when there's going to be stretches where you struggle, whether it's not shooting the ball well or what have you, but you know, it would go from kind of, in Coach Dooley's words, an A performance to an F performance rather than, you know, a B or a C.
No doubt about it. And, Bubba, the one thing that that I think is that this team is finding ways to win. That's what they're, you know, they have to do. And I think with Coppin State, you remember that game, Bubba, you and I were about to lose our mind 2 years ago, the 2019-2020 season. I think it was December 3rd. Pirates lost 85-75, and I remember being at that game. And I know Coppin State, like, is a good MEAC team and all that. I'm not knocking them, but we did not play well at all that day 2 years ago. And then it seemed like they didn't have Saturday. They didn't have the energy. I thought they played with more energy tonight, with having the home game with ODU. But the problem I saw, Bubba, there was a lot of, and especially the first half. I haven't looked at the turnovers, but a lot of sloppy play early on with those passes were just, oh man, passing in, you know, the lane, yeah. Just easy to telegraph. I mean, they were telegraphing their passes, easy to steal those. And give credit to, I don't want to diminish Old Dominion's defense. They had some really cool zones they were doing where it looks like a 2-3, it's then a 1-3-1. They switched back and forth. Pretty cool. And then both Dooley and Old Dominion was doing a great job. One time they would be man-to-man. Next time they're down, they're in a zone. So that was pretty cool to see that from both teams. And you got to give credit to, I think Jeff Jones is a great coach. Bubba, when I was a kid, showed my age, he was one of those guys from the Jefferson Pilot Raycom days that of the ACC when there was just eight schools. In fact, I remember when there was just seven schools. I remember barely remember right before Georgia Tech joined the ACC. But anyway, Jeff Jones was one of those special players as a point guard, and they made two NCAA tournaments, and they also made two NITs under his leadership, of course, with a coach, former athletic director for the Pirates, Terry Holland. But great coach. And, you know, with Old Dominion, you knew that one thing, Bubba, that was coming to mind, and I'll let you talk, sorry, is I was thinking about that tonight. It's hard to beat a team twice. We played them 11 days ago. You win by 13, and then you have to turn around and play them tonight. And I think we're very – to say that we're – I know it's an understatement of the century – very fortunate to come out with a victory.
Yeah, the Monarchs down there in the Myrtle Beach Invitational, they were without Jeff Jones in that tournament. So, and that was something working against them, and they did struggle. And I mean, averaging losing by 20 points in those three games down in Conway. But they're not a bad basketball team, and they definitely reflect Jeff Jones' toughness that you were referencing a moment ago from his days playing at UVA. But you know, looking, one of the alarming things, in addition to what I've already referenced about consistency of play and, you know, not having those steep drop-offs like we've had, and being able to play with the lead, because that's something, quite frankly, we're not used to. But fortunately, we're growing more and more accustomed to playing with the lead. But the first 5 minutes of each half, they were a struggle the other night, or the other afternoon, I should say, against Coppin State, and they were a struggle tonight. The first 5 minutes, I think we had five turnovers, and we had as many turnovers as we did points. But from that point on, we began to figure out what ODU was presenting defensively and started to knock down shots at a unbelievable clip. Who would have thought the Pirates in the game finished 15 out of 27 from three and won by a single point. So out of our 63 points, 45 of those came from beyond the arc.
That was a difference tonight. I tell you what, Bubba, it was driving me crazy. Don't get me wrong. The three ball is what makes the college game and the pro game. That's the style of play. Whether we like it or not, we talk about that on the show here when it comes to basketball. But for me, what was frustrating tonight is you can't – just because the three ball is like the way you play the game now, you can't live and die by the three. And we gave up a lot of looks down low, and we passed it down low. And sometimes, you know, I think it's great. It's obviously that we're all coached with Joe Dooley. But sometimes it seems like with this group that they overpass. They're making one too many passes. When you have a shot that's right near the basket, the percentages are so high that you'll make it. Or at least, if nothing else, you'll get fouled. And I think, for the most part, another great thing about this Pirate team, Bubba, don't you think, is their free throw shooting. I'll have to look again tonight. But overall, their free throw shooting was a lot better than we've seen in the past.
Yeah, in a moment, I'll look up the number for the season. Just my gut, I honestly, have not looked at the season stats in the last few games.
Yeah,
But
say
I do.
good, because
Yeah,
50% tonight.
well, I know tonight we only got to the line 8 times because we were
Yeah.
shooting so many threes. So no, we did not shoot them well. The biggest thing that stands out about the 4 out of 8 tonight, we missed the front end of 2 1-and-1s there, but fortunately, it didn't bite us in the rear end. I was scared to death that we were going to lose after we missed those front ends of 1 1-and-1s in the final seconds. But fortunately, we play good defense. And one of the things before we get into some of the numbers, both team and individual, actually, Matt Simmons and I were talking, and you may have seen it in the group text as well, Dave. We were
Yeah.
very surprised with how Jeff Jones and ODU chose to attack that last 4.2 seconds when they had the ball on the baseline, the length of the court, and they opted to throw a baseball pass with 4.2 left. And Brandon Johnson, I guess it was, intercepted it, doing his best DJ Ford and back there at safety.
Yeah.
But
No doubt. Intercepted.
no, just what we were surprised with, it was almost as though there was like 1.2 left instead of
Right.
4.2. They had plenty of time to inbound the ball and have their guards get it quickly up the court and get a decent look. But hey, I'm glad they chose to handle it the way they did. And there on the final possession, after we missed the second front end of a 1-and-1, I tell you, I saw the officials stepping that way. I was like, are they going to call a shooting foul on the dang 60-foot three-pointer at the buzzer? I was prepared for it, and then fortunately, I saw everyone heading off the court and to shake hands, and the official wasn't signaling anything, so I could breathe a little more easily. But hey, with some of the finishes I've seen down through the years with Pirate basketball, I don't trust it until there's all zeros and the officials are gone to the locker room.
One of my buddies, by the way, Bubba, I've never told you this, but he used to always say it was so true. We went to so many basketball games over the years, especially in the 90s. And he would look at me with very colorful, and he said, "We finished like no other Division I school." And
Yeah.
it's so true how many times we've seen Appalachian State or different teams come through there to Williams Arena, or even when I was a student, it was Minji's Coliseum before the renovation in 95. And I'll never forget. He kept saying that, and I was like, "You know, you're so right." And it rings true today that we need to learn how to finish. Meaning, no disrespect again to ODU, when they made their I know their last three field, I think it was their last three field goals, or right of their not last three,
Yeah,
but
but
there was a stretch.
yeah, whether they made all three or your point is definitely dead on as far as ODU's. I think they went on an 8-0 run there in the final minute
Yeah,
plus
I don't.
to go from I guess down 7 to up 1, I think it was.
Yeah. That's the thing that I don't want to dismiss. I don't discount or diminish them at all. I'm just simply saying there was some times with the shot selection with this team surprises me. Like, I'll tell you somebody that I was really disappointed. There was one shot tonight. That TRW, Tremont Robinson White. I mean, it was, I think it was a three, but it was, was it the first or second? I don't know. First and second half is blending in at this point of the night. But my frustration was the dude was not even set. He was not even square to the basket. It was almost like he was putting like a shot up before, just to not have a shot clock violation. And then, you know, it's a brick and then they get the ball back. I know that people say, "Well, Dave, that's one possession," but you see that the score was 63-62, and I don't think they realize that while he's a great shooter, he's unbelievable on defense. Just because you're a great shooter, you still need to respect the game and respect it enough to square up to the basket and get a much better look. I mean, I don't want to pick on him. He's not the only one, but that was one example of like where they're not dribble drive. To me, I'm the kind of guy that, yes, the three ball is great, but I like to ram it down your throat. I like to dribble drive, just drive to the basket, And it just seems like unless you're getting a charge, good things happen when you drive to the basket. And to play so soft and just live and die by a jump shot or live and die by a three-pointer, it just kills me. And Cy and Patrick, let me also give a shout-out to Jeff Charles and Michael Perry. I'm enjoying listening to him on the radio. Michael Perry's been a nice addition and touch to the radio side of things. And then having Patrick and Cy Seymour on ESPN Plus has been amazing. So, hey, Bubba, you know, I was thinking about, I know we had some craziness last year. First eight games of last year were 7-1. And look right here, we're 6-2. And if you think about it, man, we were so close in the Oklahoma game, the two losses. And then the Davidson, speaking of blowing leads, we blew that lead in that Invitational, Myrtle Beach Invitational, a couple weeks ago, almost now. It just, we could be really close. We're so close to 8-0, you know, we're not. But my point is our basketball team is playing a lot better than in recent past.
Yeah, we've won going back to last season when we were 6-0 in the abbreviated non-conference schedule because of COVID. We've won 12 out of our last 14 non-conference games. And, you know, some folks will kind of scoff at that and, you know, just well, who have you beaten? Well, have we beaten someone the likes of Oklahoma who we were close to beating this year? No, we haven't. But at the same time, some of these teams that we've beaten aren't bad basketball teams, even though they don't have a brand name. And right. Then I've said it time and again, it's teams that we've lost to, you know, throughout our history. Not just recent history, but throughout our program's history for decades, losing those types of games is so frustrating in the months of November and December. But now we're finding a way to win them, even when it's ugly. And just like on Saturday against Coppin State, we found a way to get it done. In these last two games, when you've relinquished a lead, you know, anywhere from like 10 to 13 points in each one of those games, and you had the game tied up, or in tonight's case, you fell behind by one with 45 or 50 seconds left. What I loved is we came right down the court, got the ball to Brandon Suggs there, just inside the free throw line, I believe it was. He made about a 12-foot little semi-jump hook shot or something, if I recall correctly. And then we went right back up by one, and were able to hold ODU off.
Hey, Bubba, how about that stop that we got around that time? I think it was the next possession for ODU. That was a huge play where we get the shot clock violation. Man, that was huge. Of course, we missed. And then, again, I'm trying to credit ODU a lot because I want to make sure that people understand they're a good basketball team. Jeff Jones, I've always liked him as a player, as a coach. What a great competitor, Bubba. How about the fact that they only had 5 fouls called against them? They managed to get two fouls without the clock even changing at all, even turning on. They get to 7 fouls. Of course, the 1-1. We miss a 1-1, like Bubba said, 2 different times. I mean, those kind of things could have really come back to haunt us. We were very fortunate, and it looks like we escaped the second game in a row now, and we've got to get ready for, I don't care who we're playing on Saturday, we've got to play at a high level each game. And I think that's the one thing, Bubba, we've been talking about is when I say we, like you and I, like Pirate Nation's been struggling watching this team only because we're happy with the results so far, but the consistency has been lacking at the start of the season.
Yeah, as far as how Old Dominion handled that final sequence defensively, like Cy Seymour was saying on the ESPN Plus broadcast, I definitely like the way Jeff Jones and his staff handled it. And as far as fouling twice, they only had 5 team fouls, and they elected to foul twice before any time elapsed off the clock. And so that way, if we did what we did, missing the front end of a 1-1, they had more time. And not only did they have time there, but after they turned it over on the inbounds pass, you know, we missed another front end. So that, and by handling it the way they did, they gave themselves the best chance. But going to some of the numbers for this game, we'll start off with our game notes. Largest lead for the Pirates tonight was 10, 46 to 36 there, about 4 minutes into the second half. The Pirates, how odd was this? We talked about East Carolina knocking down 15 threes in this game. ECU made just two 2-point field goals in the first half. And for the game, the Pirates shot just 7 of 29 on 2-point field goal attempts. So less than 25% from
That's
two.
That's crazy.
But over 55% from beyond the arc. And that can mask a lot of things. And it did tonight. The Pirates led for the majority of the game for more than 33 minutes. And tonight's success was had without Zoe Frink. You saw Marlon Leston, the talented freshman from Canada. He saw significant playing time tonight. He played sparingly up to this point, but with Zoe Frink out, Coach Dooley, as Marlon Leston's conditioning has improved, he felt comfortable sticking Marlon out there tonight. And Marlon did some nice things, pulled down some rebounds. And, it's great to see Marlon Leston be a contributing factor tonight. And then, looking at the team stats, we've referenced several of those already for the game. Despite shooting 55.6%, 15 out of 27 from three, East Carolina was below 40% for the game, like I mentioned, after shooting just 7 out of 29 from two. From the free throw line, not many attempts tonight, 4 out of 8. Two huge misses there in the final minute, but fortunately, East Carolina was able to escape those and improve to 6-2. The Pirates were out rebounding 37-31. ODU definitely, I'm not sure how many second chance points they had, but they had some at key junctures tonight as they made the comeback from down double figures, trailing East Carolina by 10 points with just over 16 minutes to play. The Pirates had 15 turnovers. Which is not a good number. Obviously, the Pirates have been averaging about 10 or 11 a game. I think 5 or 6 of those turnovers were in the first 5 minutes of the game. But too many one-handed passes, too many telegraph passes. That's something that Coach Dooley referenced in the post game, and it definitely has to be cleaned up pretty quickly as the competition is going to get tougher as we move into AAC play in the end of December. And also have solid non-conference opponents. Gardner-Webb isn't bad, but then you have the likes of Liberty December 17th down in Charlotte at the Spectrum Center. That's going to be a heck of a challenge against the Flames. But the Pirates shared the basketball well on 22 made field goals. They had 19 assists, so it's hard to do much better than that. And, taking a look at some of the individual numbers, Vance Jackson had a coming-out party tonight. Vance was 6 out of 7 from deep, 21 points and 6 rebounds for the very talented Vance Jackson, who we've seen it from in spurts, but tonight was undoubtedly his best performance thus far in the purple and gold. Brandon Suggs followed up his career night on Saturday afternoon. You had 25 points for Brandon in that victory over Coppin State. And tonight, he had 14 points and 8 boards, nearly had a double-double. And then Tristan Newton, Tristan had 13, which is below his average. And, I think considerably below his average because I want to say he's averaging close to 20 a game. But he had some big buckets, knocked down a couple of huge threes. One, it was, I guess, maybe straight out or kind of off the left wing. And then one off the right wing where Old Dominion had closed to 3 or 4 points each time, and the Pirates were in jeopardy of giving up the lead and falling behind in the game. But, he found a way to knock down two deep clutch threes to put the Pirates up 6 or 7 and give them a little bit of breathing room against Old Dominion. And then for the Monarchs, Kaiser, what a game Kaiser had, 19 points, 5 rebounds, very versatile, knocked down a couple of threes and also made some nice plays going to the basket. And that's something I'll reference again in a moment as far as Old Dominion as well as other opponents this year getting to the cup without any help defense. But and then you also had Ezikpe, I believe is how it's pronounced. Ezikpe was had 12 points and 8 rebounds, and he was really a force inside. I know Cy Seymour was very impressed with him on the interior. So those are some of the numbers from tonight's game.
No doubt about it. In fact, it's amazing to see the foul trouble they got. And man, Jeff, you talk about a great coach. Jeff Jones did a nice job. He got like two fouls. What was it within the first 2 minutes of the game? I mean, that's crazy. That's nuts. And so Jeff Jones did a nice job bringing him back in the first half, and he played for a number of minutes with two fouls. And then they took him out. I guess I can't remember exactly when they took him out, but nice job of coaching there. I can't say enough good about Jeff Jones. I thought, thank God, Bubba, that we have a coach that knows what he's doing. That's a great coach, because if not, Jeff Jones would have walked all over him if he was not a good coach or not one of experience. But Joe Dooley is so experienced. He's just amazing. We're very blessed to have him. And, you know, Bubba, one of the things that I know Johnny Robertson wants to chime in that concerns me, and I'm glad. Thank you, Johnny, for tuning in, number one. And thank you for mentioning, as you said, the ODU game in Conway is the only game that the Pirates outscored their opponent in the second half, 32-31. They're on average a negative 7.1 points after halftime. Any theories on why this continues to be a problem? What would you say, Bub? I, for me personally, I think it's a team that we've talked about how they don't have a good grasp when they on things when they get a lead. That's one thing. I think there's also the fact that these coaches are doing a nice job making adjustments at halftime, but it just seems like if they could play 40 minutes, that's such a cliche in basketball, but if they could play 40 minutes of solid defense and offense, when they ever get that, they could just blow people out of the water. But for me personally, I think a lot of it is just not knowing how to handle a lead.
There's no doubt. I mean, you look at Western Carolina, I think that game we had, what, about a 25-point lead, and then same thing against Canisius, we had a 28 or 29-point lead. So one of the biggest things is just, you know, when you have a lead that large, you're going to be playing more people. You're learning how to play with a lead. And, you know, it's still early in the season. There's so many variables. The biggest thing is just learning how to keep that intensity. Coach Dooley, you know, said it, and he said it again tonight. He said it pretty much ad nauseum at this point. Just that we have to learn how to play with a lead. You know, we've had double digit leads in the majority of our games, but we've had to sweat a couple of them out, especially in the last two.
Yeah.
So we just have to learn how to make those plays and play with the intensity necessary to be able to put people away. And then, I mean, obviously the other team's trying to win too. So when you have a 25-point lead, it's as much as you want to keep the foot on the gas, and you have to, it's just the other team's trying to win too. They're not going to give up the majority of the time. So it's not all that uncommon to see teams that have outscored someone by 20 or 25 and a half to lose the second half. But it is something that needs to be addressed, because Coach Dooley specifically referenced it on, I don't know, probably four or five occasions already. And we've only played eight ball games.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, by the way, Bubba, talking about that incredible run we've had over the last 2 years, non-conference games. You know that how good the American is a big boy league when it comes to basketball, not only football, but basketball and baseball. And I tell you what, if you want to win conference games like we do, then we've got to do a better job. And by the way, no way in the world we're going to finish towards the bottom. Especially, you got to feel like, Bubba, that I feel so optimistic, and maybe that's a scary thing knowing how our basketball program has been for so many years, kind of like the Bad News Bears, the Chicago Cubs from yesteryear, if you will. Just so much heartbreak in the program. But the last 2 years, they've played so well. It's going to be exciting to see coming down the stretch how we do and how we handle that. And I know folks don't know more than just Jaden Gardner, but we had like five pieces come back. We talked a lot about that this season, that it's disappointing they didn't do their homework. A guy that we'll have on tomorrow, by the way, on the Sports Objective, that knows a lot about basketball is Mike DeCourcy. We'll have him on, and we'll have that for you. But we'll be talking to him, obviously, tomorrow afternoon. It's going to be great. Bubba, I'm so excited about the season. Like we said, the next two games at home are going to be critical, but we have another game, I know, for Christmas we have with Southern Miss. A lot of great games, and then we'll have the tournament, the conference games coming. I believe Wichita State's the first game coming up at towards the end of the month, end of December, about a month from now, but
yeah,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, only five games for the Pirates in the month of December, beginning on Saturday, December 4th, when Gardner-Webb comes to Minji's 3 o'clock tip-off, as we've already mentioned. Then Tuesday the 7th, 7 o'clock tip-off against North Carolina A&T. Then you have a 10-day break there without games or close to it. Next game would be Friday, December 17th, the game that I'll be at the Basketball Hall of Fame Shootout at the Spectrum Center here in Charlotte. The Liberty Flames, a program that's been a fixture in the NCAA tournament over the last two or three years, winning 30-plus games in at least one, if not both, of those seasons. And then in addition to that, nice to see a familiar foe from our CUSA days, and that is, of course, the Southern Mississippi Golden Eagles. So a rare Tuesday noon tip-off on December 21st. I may try to make it down for that since that is after my Christmas break has begun. So we shall see, but I'll definitely plan on being in attendance on December 29th when we start AAC play against Wichita State. The Shockers come in that Wednesday night on December 29th, 7 o'clock tip-off. And, man, what a way that would be to start league play with a win over Wichita State.
And, Bubba, I don't want to jinx it. Probably not a great way to preface this, but please, 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 no COVID, man. I'm telling you, this team is on, you know, you can see some greatness. You see some flashes of greatness, as they say. And just, you know, obviously we'd love to have Jaden. We've said that multiple times, but this team is great. And I tell you another thing, Bubba, I'm so excited about I'll pitch it to you, is the very fact that this team plays an exciting brand of basketball. You know, they're stealing the ball, they're hustling, they're diving for loose balls, they're doing more fast breaks. They couldn't do that with Jaden Gardner as much.
Yeah, we're definitely a better basketball team than we were a year ago, and that's nothing against Jaden Gardner. Tremendous player. Really appreciate everything he did for East Carolina over his three seasons. But anybody that has seen us play considerably in both seasons, and we're hands down a better basketball team. And not all of that is because of, him leaving, obviously, but it's just, you can tell we're so much more fluid offensively. You can have a number of guys step up and hurt you. And one of the biggest things is the development of Tristan Newton. And Tristan, we'll have his season numbers for you here in a moment, but Tristan, 19 points is what Tristan Newton's averaging through eight games. And 19 points, four rebounds, and then also right at five assists per game with 39 assists through eight ball games.
Yeah, he stepped up his game considerably. You know, when I think he had like around 11 points a game or a couple years ago, whatever. But he's added about, I'd say, 8-10 points in that range to his average, somewhere in that neighborhood. And so that helps a lot.
And absolutely. And something else is the way he's shooting the ball from beyond the arc. Last year, I want to say he was upper 20s, low 30s best. Now he's shooting 17 out of 42, just shy of 41% from beyond the arc. So hopefully that will continue. You have Brandon Suggs. Speaking of Brandon Suggs, we've had our TSO locker room for football. With Ryan Jones, Pirate tight end, as well as, Jaira Wilson. So now we will have TSO locker room for basketball as Brandon Suggs will begin his weekly interviews with us starting tomorrow, and they'll probably typically be on Mondays, but this week we'll be bringing that to you on Wednesday. So, you know, Brandon, he's had an excellent year thus far. He's averaging 12.5 points, shooting greater than 40% from three, even though he hasn't attempted a ton. Now, he did three of his seven makes were tonight. So it's nice to see him step out and show that range. You know, he can do so many things for you in transition and taking the ball to the basket. He's also shooting free throws well. He leads the team in free throw attempts as well as free throw makes, 31 out of 40, shooting right at 78% from the line. To go with Tristan Newton, 29 out of 34, 85% from the line. And you were correct on the season, even though he shot him poorly tonight, 4 out of 8. Just 50%, obviously. For the season, was 71.3, 107 out of 150.
Yeah, if he can go 70%, I mean, that's right what you want. You'd love to have it higher, but, hey, we'll take that, especially, Bubba. So many – I always say this, there's a difference between – if you make the free throws, that's the difference between a good team and a great team. That can really kill you. That can be a real Achilles heel. Know that the basketball fans know that, but it really can. And when you have these tight games as we have, that's, hey, tonight we could have easily lost it by those two front end one and ones, you know, and that we were not getting to the line enough. I mean, they made 10 more than we did tonight. I think they made 14 and we made four. That's a 10-point difference right there. And yeah. So yeah, that's they, 14 or 19.
They made. And granted, we shot a lot of threes, so that was the reason for that. They were attacking the basket much more than we were, because we attempted 27 threes. They only shot 11 threes. They were getting the majority of their offense from going to the basket. We talked about the way they were attacking the basket. And then, like you mentioned, they had 14 points from the free throw line, and they made I guess, what, six more than we attempted.
Yeah, and people don't realize how this team is a good team, and they're finding ways to win. And, man, you miss some free throws, or you don't drive the basket as much as you should. And I realized that OD was playing good defense, I felt like. Those zones were killer. But, you know, we did the zone buster. That's what you call – when you make an outside shot like that for a three is a zone buster. And that's exactly what we're doing tonight with the threes. I can't believe 15 made is unbelievable, Bubba.
Hey, and eight games in, we play 30 games. So the season's over 25% of the way done. Obviously you look at it. I was looking at the season statistics, 3-point percentage, 39.8%. So 40% from three when we've been, you know,
36.
Yeah, like the last 2 years, we were like probably 29 and 31, something like that. So we're shooting 10% better from three. And if we can maintain that, shooting 40% from the arc, I mean, that's unbelievable. And we'll rank very highly in the nation if we continue to shoot it at that clip. Obviously, 350 teams. Just out of curiosity, I'm going to see before our next show, after Saturday's game against Gardner-Webb, I'm going to see where 39.8% ranks. It has to be, you know, I'd say top 50 or so, no worse than top 100.
Yeah, and that's what exactly we've been talking about, Bubba, on this show for the last, now that's our third season for Pirate Basketball Overtime, is the fact that we're what? Two or three threes away from winning a lot of games. And here we are making 15 tonight. Are you going to be making every night 15 every night? Of course not. We understand that. But, man, I tell you what, Bubba, I'm very excited. Speaking of someone that making his threes.
Dave, sorry to cut you off, but since this is in reference to what we were just talking about, where our three-point percentage ranks nationally, we'll just call Johnny Robertson Johnny on the spot. 23rd.
Wow, Johnny, thank you so much.
23rd of 357.
Thank you so much, Johnny. We have the best listeners of yours. They're smart, and they're smarter than me. That doesn't take much, but thank you, Johnny, for that. And I tell you what, very excited about that, because How many times have we talked about that, Bubba? How close we are. The fact Jaden couldn't make a three, no disrespect to him, but the game that we're playing now, right now, we needed players that could shoot the three. And I tell you one thing, very excited to have Vance Jackson. You said it earlier. When was he going to be able to put it all together? We love that guy. We see the talent. He's so tall. He's so strong, long, and lean, and just exactly what you're looking for in a basketball player, especially here at East Carolina. We need that, those wing players. And he actually tonight, I thought, just took over the game. I mean, 21 points. What was it, 21 and 7?
21 and 7, 21 and 6, I think, yeah. in 37 minutes. And one of the things you'd seen it in spurts from Vance. He'd certainly not performed poorly by any means, but you hadn't seen him do it for a complete game. It seems as though the majority of the games, you know, he would knock down two or three outside shots, be it threes or other long perimeter jumpers, and kind of fade from there with his performance, and finish with 9 or 10 points for the game. Well, tonight he was knocking down clutch shots in both halves, and also doing a good job of taking it to the basket and showing the versatility he can bring. And you know, I have some. We talked about some of the. I've paraphrased some of the things that Coach Dooley had said in the ESPN Plus interview after the game with Patrick Johnson. But some other comments from the write-up on ECUPirates.com, Coach Dooley said, and they made some plays, and we had some untimely defensive lapses that we had to clean up. I thought we did a good job in some stretches, but we had to learn to play with the lead. And Vance was solid defensively. We turned it over way too much, but he did some good things. He shot the ball well, was poised, and made some really good passes.
How about off the bench? We've talked about him, and hopefully we'll talk about him a lot this season. Brandon Johnson has been an X factor. Man, he does those – you hear that all the time on television, and people say the intangibles. He does the stuff. It may not show up in the box score, but, man, his presence is making people change their shots, and what normally would be an easy shot with his defense makes it more of a difficult shot to make. And, man, there was some possessions, especially in the second half. Brandon Johnson stepped up big for the Pirates.
Yeah, he really did. And as far as Brandon Johnson's concerned, I want to go back to that Coppin State game since we were unable to have a show recapping that victory. Brandon Johnson pulled down 19 rebounds that day. That's Jaden Gardner or Errol Bean type numbers. And just a warrior. And he's a freshman. And that's probably at least, without me checking, that's at least probably the third or fourth game that he's had 10-plus rebounds. So I'm so excited about everything he brings to the table. And Old Dominion was one of the main programs the Pirates beat out for Brandon Johnson.
You were reading my mind. I was getting ready to chime in with that. But so cool. But it just shows, I know Maryland, they were talking about, I hadn't known that, but I didn't know about the Maryland piece of things, that they were in the mix. But grateful to have him. And again, if there are players out there, Joe Dooley's going to – he'll know about it, and he'll find a way to recruit those players. And, hey, Bubba, there's another one. I know we're running long, but there was another one that I wanted to mention to you, another player. I'm really impressed with the – I know one of the recruits out of high school, Felton, made a couple threes tonight. Really impressed with him. I know that he's really taking advantage of the minutes he has coming off the bench, and I just want to get your comments on him. And I know you wanted to talk about free throws.
Absolutely. R.J. Felton played 12 minutes tonight, but he made some serious contributions in those 12 minutes, knocked down a couple of threes. And, you know, also he's just – you heard Coach Dooley, Antoine Jackson, assistant coach, and other people closely affiliated with the program talk about what R.J. Felton brought to the table in terms – or brings to the table, I should say, with regard to his athleticism. But it's nice to see him knock down a couple of perimeter shots like that tonight. And, you know, really looked good in doing so, had a fluid shot. And he's such a threat with that athleticism to take the ball to the basket. And he can get in there and, you know, even though he's – he can get in there amongst the trees with his – body and or with his body, he's, you know, able to hold up, and his jumping ability, man, he had one. I thought he was going to have an explosive alley-oop jam tonight on a fast break, but unfortunately, was unable to throw it down. But I'm sure he'll have those in the very near future. But I'm really excited about him. He's someone in high school, he averaged close to a triple-double. So well-rounded, and so many young pieces to this roster that, yeah, you have so many reasons to be excited about. And Marlon Leston, we talked about him earlier. He played close to 7 minutes tonight, and you know, had a big rebound or two and did some nice things. He did commit three fouls in those 7 minutes. So that's one of the things. He's not having played much at this level. He's trying to learn how to play defense without fouling.
Yeah, and we always talk about the different levels and the fact that the game right now is so fast to him, and it'll slow down. And I think he's very athletic. And Bubba, I think they had not, for the longest time, they had not done a like star system as far as rating, but he's a five-star out of Canada. I mean, you know, everybody can say what they want to because he's in Canada and, you know, hockey is their sport, whatever. But a five-star, I mean, Joe Dooley's getting a five-star. That says a lot about our program. It says a lot about his reputation with being a great recruiter. My gosh. I mean, I joke with him when I talk to him. I said, Coach, do you ever sleep? Do you ever, like, just take time to – but he loves it. He eats, sleeps, drinks it. And I guess that's what you want from a basketball coach, right? You don't want a guy that's just kind of ho-hum and just showing up. You got a guy that's that passionate and that has that much love for the game. Thank goodness for Joe Dooley. And thank goodness, speaking of Bubba, thank goodness for Johnny Robertson, right?
Yeah, Johnny. He's our stats guy tonight, looking up where the Pirates rank nationally in various categories. He said 153rd. His opponents are shooting 75.7%, which puts us 313th in free throw percentage against. I was just curious. We're shooting 71.3. Interested to see where that's stacked up nationally, because that is a solid number.
Yeah, it is. And, by the way, Bubba, you got a guy that's it's going down to the wire tonight as far as stats are concerned between you and Johnny Robertson, right? You're making my heart beat fast because, just like the game, who's going to outstat the other guy? Anything you can do, I can do better. I'm just joking with you and Johnny, but good stuff tonight. I tell you what, very excited again. Gardner Webb is coming up on Saturday at 3 o'clock. Hey, let's get everybody out there and at Williams Arena, Menjie's Coliseum. Get your season tickets too, folks. ecupirates.com, 1-800, dial ECU. I'm going to be there. It's going to be so much fun. Bubba, are you going to be able to make it on Saturday?
No, I will not be able to make it on Saturday. Riley has a game. Okay. But
I thought that might be the case.
But I will. That Liberty game, and then I'll definitely be making some games in Menjie's throughout the season as I can. At least one, if not a couple, over break. Definitely plan on attending the Wichita State game, then hopefully the Southern Miss game also.
Bubba, one thing that I should have texted you over a weekend, or certainly I forgot to. I was going to mention, thought about it today. What are your thoughts on, you and I had the opportunity to sit together, and your dad and mom, they're amazing people, but I knew you'd agree with me on that. You won't disagree with me on that. But I really enjoyed being with you guys, and AT Alan Thomas was there. I remember being sitting behind us. But for these games where the students are not there, are they going to – have you heard anything, or I'll reach out to them about selling those tickets to the public, because that was so much fun 2 years ago. Didn't you think it was great? We couldn't have fans last year, but.
Yeah, generally over the holidays, those December non-conference games, when the students are not there, or in the Wichita State game for that matter, because that is, I think, when I said the 29th, before the students return to campus. but I'm sure they'll be running promotions. Generally, they're very good promotions. And like you said, on those the seats that are courtside, I think there's something like 1,600 in the lower bowl. Obviously, some of those go to parents of both teams and other complimentary tickets. So those, the other 1,300 or whatever you have, 1,400, get snatched up pretty quickly. But speaking of attendance, very, very frustrating to see. I had no clue what the attendance was listed at tonight, and I really don't care.
I knew. It's 2,200. I read it. I knew you were going to ask the question.
2,200?
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, good and well, if it's listed at 2,200, there was only 1,000 and some there. That's absolutely pathetic, Pirate Nation. That is pathetic. And we have a solid basketball team. Let's get out there and support them. And Williams Arena Minji's Coliseum can be such a tremendous home court advantage. Get out and support these guys and be that sixth man. Yes, it's cliche, but it's anybody that's been to a game in Minji's when it's rocking knows the difference it can make. And, you know, a game like Coppin State where it comes down to the wire, or a game like tonight where it comes down to the wire, maybe those games don't even come down to the wire if we have, you know, not even a full house. If we have 4,500, 5,000 people in the seats, a legitimate 4,500 there, not paid, but butts in seats, it gets loud when the place is half full or just slightly over half full. I mean, that would be about 60% full or so. Make it happen. Make it happen. I'm sick and tired of you know, tonight, as far as I know, you know, I mean, students are back on campus. You have that core group of tens of people, literally probably 30 or 40 people, that, you know, love it, and they're fired up and getting into it the entire game. We need to, you know, multiply that by about, you know, 30 or 40 times and have 1,500 to 2,000 students at each and every game. And with our enrollment and the quality product that we're putting on the court now, there's no reason that shouldn't happen. Hopefully the administration, as well as Coach Dooley, will, you know, maybe deliver some pizzas to these frat houses and dormitories and so forth, and do what they can to generate the excitement and get folks out. And if they see, you know, see the Pirates knocking down 15 threes and winning basketball games, then they're going to come back. Because that was a lot of, even though it came down to the wire tonight, that was a lot of fun to watch. Vance Jackson, Brandon Suggs, Tristan Newton, and tremendously skilled guys that are pouring their heart and souls and blood, sweat, and tears into this program. And you can see we're on the brink. I mean, we're winning the games that you're supposed to win, and that's something that we've historically struggled with. Get out and be the difference. All right, I'm off my soapbox now.
No, it's the same thing with the football team. You know, here we are. We have a winning product in football, right? We're on that network called ABC. Anybody heard of it? We're on a nationally televised game, and we have people that are texting our friends saying that don't follow our program. We're your fans. That's pitiful, considering we always brag about how great we are. Our football team deserves better. Mike Houston deserves better. We'll talk about in just a second what we have coming up on our show. But ladies and gentlemen, for basketball, this is the best these last 2 years. You can see that Joe Dooley is putting together a winning product. And, you know, Bubba, he talked about that, where the responsibility, he's such a great leader. We've got to put a winning product on the floor for people to come. Well, guess what, folks? Guess what, Pirate Nation? He's putting a winning product on the floor, and we need to do a better job. You're absolutely right, Bubba. 2,200. It looked on television like it was exactly like you said, 1,000. I don't want to repeat what you're saying.
Yeah.
But just disappointed, really disappointed.
Look more like 1,200.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway. That's something I probably shouldn't say that, but at the same time, because you don't want to dwell on the negative, but it was so poor That's the reason I don't mind mentioning it, because on the other games this year, it hasn't been good, but tonight was far and away the worst, and that's ridiculous. Pirate Nation, you're better than that. And these guys deserve better than that, and there's no reason I would give anything to be, you know, Raleigh East, you know, anywhere within an hour to hour and a half radius of Greenville where I can make the trip, but being 3 hours and 15 minutes away, it's just not possible.
Really hard, and I love how you give me a hard time all the time. Are you kidding me? I'm being 45 minutes at the most away from the campus to be able to see games, and I know you tease me a lot about that. Are you kidding
but
me?
You're also, 20... you're also a single parent, so I understand.
Yeah, no doubt. Bubba, I know we've got to wrap this thing up. We've gone long, but very excited about Pirate Basketball and our show, our third season, by the way, of Pirate Basketball Overtime. By the way, fans, the Military Bowl for the football, we're going from the hardwood to the gridiron. The Military Bowl is going to be East Carolina versus that. We're going to take on the whole conference of the ACC. We'll have ACC All-Stars. I'm just kidding. that'll be on Monday, December 27th at 2:30. Get your tickets, folks. Very excited about speaking of selling tickets, ecpirates.com, 1-800-DIAL-ECU. The folks are going crazy. We've sold a lot of tickets so far, but we can sell a lot more on that. If you're looking on the diagram, it's the right side of the stadium there, the Naval Academy. So make sure you get your tickets again, 1-800-DIAL-ECU, ecpirates.com. Quickly, make sure you get your hotels. We talked about it on the last show on the playback. It is going, those tickets, not the tickets, but the hotel rooms are skyrocketing right now. You might have to stay in North Carolina. I'm just kidding. Or drive it that day. But seriously, get your tickets, folks, for that. Our next show we're going to have is on Thursday night. Bubba, very excited. We've got two great guests.
Yeah, we do. We mentioned tomorrow we'll be talking to Michael DeCourcy. That may just be a recorded interview. We shall see. And then we'll also have our TSO locker room for basketball kicking off with Brandon Suggs. And talking about the Pirates 6-2 start, his career high, scoring those 25 points against Coppin State, and had another solid outing tonight, putting up 14-8 in the victory over Old Dominion. But in addition to that, you talk about Thursday night, we will have on Thursday, help me out here, Dave. Almost midnight. I'm drawing a blank.
John, we have the play-by-play voice of the
Virginia Tech. We'll have John Laser, the play-by-play voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies. We'll talk to him about the coaching search that's going on. I think the Hokies, it appears, if it's not official, it will be shortly. I think I saw that it became official. The defense coordinator at Penn State, I think it was Brent Pry was his name.
That's correct.
A little over 50 years old, coaching veteran, having been in the business for nearly 30 years or just over 30 years. But this is his first head coaching gig, has had multiple defensive coordinator stops and then also assistant head coaching stops. But he will be taking over from everything we've seen for Justin Fuente in Blacksburg. And so we'll talk about that as well as the possibility of the Hokies landing at the Military Bowl as the Pirates' opponent. Obviously, it was well documented to everything that went down when the hurricane prevented East Carolina or made the East Carolina administration choose to not go to Blacksburg to play that game. And Virginia Tech used it as an opportunity to just a way to wiggle out of the series. And, some things were done on both sides that were regrettable,
yes,
for sure.
Sue me.
Both East Carolina and Virginia Tech's administration. So maybe that's something that can be worked out down the road. But it's going to be a rare meeting. It sounds weird saying that, but it's going to be a rare meeting if it happens between East Carolina and Virginia Tech, because they're pretty booked up. We're pretty booked up. Also, what I just referenced, the bad blood between the schools, even though those were at least a different administration on our part, because that was before John Gilbert and Ryan Robertson, et cetera, arrived to campus. It will be interesting to see if that series resumes, you know, a decade from now or whatever.
No doubt about it, Bubba. And we'll have that show on Thursday. We're also working on, looks like we're finalizing a deal with David Glenn, our good friend DG. I'm just kidding. I think he's going to be able to carve out some time with us on Thursday night as well. So we got an action-packed Wednesday and Thursday for you. And then obviously Saturday, we have the game with Gardner Webb, and that's going to be at 3 o'clock, a matinee. So Saturday afternoon, those games are so much fun, Bubba, to have a game where you can go to the game. And then right afterwards, I love that with the Rosenbaums. What you do is you go to the game, and we have the press conference duties that we have, which is too much inside baseball, I'm sure. And then afterwards, you can go to Parker's Barbecue. You can go to a great restaurant. There's so many in Greenville. But get your tickets again, ecupirates.com, 1-800-DIAL-ECU. And looking forward to a lot of great action coming up with different shows. Bub, I appreciate all your hard work. I appreciate all our great viewers and listeners, too, especially those that are watching live right now on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
Yeah, and a little bit about the Bulldogs very quickly. They are coached by Tim Kraft, former East Carolina assistant under Jeff Lebo. Coach Kraft was so pivotal, on the recruiting trail, bringing in a lot of those key pieces for the Pirates' 23-win season and CIT run under Coach Lebo. So a lot of memories of Coach Kraft's time in Greenville. He's done a solid job. Gardner Webb has excellent basketball tradition. He has certainly continued to build onto that. You recall, I think it was prior to his arrival in Boiling Springs. But I remember, I believe it was Coach Scruggs that was there at the time when they went into Rupp Arena and beat Kentucky. I think not only did they beat them, I think they beat them by 15 or 20 points, but nonetheless beat the Kentucky Wildcats. And they've also, I think they pushed the University of Virginia. Virginia had been beaten by UMBC in the first round of the tournament. And then the following year, Gardner Webb pushed the Cavaliers to the brink. Down in Columbia in the first round of the NCAA tournament. But Coach Kraft has a solid ball club. They're 4-3 so far, have played a very challenging schedule. When you look at it, they did get slaughtered by Duke, and that was a game that was very competitive for much of the first half. But then Duke just wore them out in the second half, 92-52. But they played a fairly competitive game against number 16 Arkansas, 86-69. And UNLV beat the running Bulldogs by 6, and then their 4 victories. They have a common opponent in Western Carolina, and Gardner Webb defeated Western Carolina 87-59, and they also beat North Carolina Central 83-58. So a couple of blowout wins on the docket for Gardner Webb there against in-state foes.
No doubt, and a great coach, like you said, for sure. We're looking forward to that game, and we'll do our very best as soon as we can. We'll have that probably on Sunday. We'll have that overtime for you, as I'll be traveling right after the game, so I won't be able to do that at that point, but hopefully we can do it on Sunday for sure. Bubba, man, thank you so much. I appreciate you for all that you do for the show, not only for overtime, but we have, of course, our regular show. With a sports objective, and we'll have more great shows for you, that great content. Appreciate you, everybody. In the meantime, we'll put this show to bed. East Carolina with a big victory again, 63-62 over ODU, 6-2 in November. We'll see how the 5 games in December start out again Saturday at 3 o'clock. Until next time, good night, everybody, and go Pirates.